Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this evening for this midweek Lent 3 midweek service is from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 62, which you have heard read. And our theme this evening, as we follow along with the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, as we apply it to our Lord's Passion, is Thy will be done. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Jesus has taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And we emphasize that word, Thy name, Thy kingdom, Thy will. Since there are other names that people want to hallow, other kingdoms that people desire to come, and other wills that people want to be done. Therefore, tonight, we will focus on the third petition of our Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done, as we apply this petition to our Lord's Passion. Dearly beloved, it's important for us. It's important for us to realize that when we ask that our Father's will be done, we're praying against three other wills that compete with His will. There's the will of the devil, there's the will of the world, and then there's the will of our sinful human nature, also known as old Adam. So let's begin tonight as we discuss the first will that we must be aware of, and that's the will of the devil. The devil's will is opposed to God, opposed to God's will. Therefore, anything that opposes God is evil. Jesus perfectly describes the devil's will in Luke chapter 8 when he tells us of the parable of the sower. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Furthermore, the Lord tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is patient toward you, not wanting that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Opposing this, the devil wills that all should perish and that none, no one, you, never ever reach repentance. The devil would gladly, very gladly, destroy every faithful pastor, rip up every Bible, torch every church building, and wipe from your memory forever the Word of God. Satan would make the world a waterless place so that there could never, ever be another baptism. Neither would grain or grape grow, which would not give us the elements for our Lord's Supper. The devil's desire, his will, is that man's tongue would stick to the roof of his mouth so that the Holy Gospel would never ever be proclaimed to anyone on this earth, and that the Holy Absolution, that all your sins are forgiven, would never ever be heard by any man, woman, or child. So against the devil's will, we pray to our Father in heaven, O Father, Thy will be done. The second will that we'll discuss tonight is the will of the world. The world's will is likewise opposed to God, and any will that is opposed to God is evil. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes thusly, For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Yet the world's will is that you indulge in every kind of sexual immorality. Again, Paul writes from the same book, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The world never wills that you give thanks, especially to God, especially to the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The world wills to boast in itself rather than we as Christians boasting in our Lord Jesus. And therefore, the world wills to refuse to recognize anything as a gift given from God. So, my dear brother and sister, it must be evident to you that the will of the devil and the will of the world is in lockstep with each other. The devil has enlisted the world in his service because the world's will nicely matches Satan's will. They are hand in hand, hand in glove, if you will. The devil doesn't want you to believe and be saved. The world doesn't want you to acknowledge that there is only one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's a match made in hell. And against the world's will, we pray to our Father in heaven, "O Father, thy will be done." And now it's your turn. It's my turn. Within our chest is a will that is opposed to God's will, and anything that is opposed to God's will is evil. Paul writes in the second chapter of Ephesians that amongst the sons of disobedience, we all formerly conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the wills of the flesh and of the mind. Now that Jesus has saved you and me, we no longer conduct ourselves according to our passions, nor carry out the wills of our flesh and mind. In other words, we don't follow old Adam. Nevertheless, those passions and those wills of old Adam have not disappeared. Old Adam's will wants what is opposed to God's will, with the result that there is a war of wills within you and within me. And it is a cruel civil war. Thus we hear in Galatians chapter 5, "The flesh desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other." There is a war of wills going on within us that unenthusiastically influences our prayers. Jesus asked us, and he asked the blind beggar, "What do you will that I should do for you?" And our sinful human flesh has all things to pray for, all things to request, prayers that are actually very, very sinful and godless. If we pray according to God's will, then we can have certain in our prayer. We know that what we will ask in Jesus' name will be given to us. That's what John writes in his first letter to us. "This is the confidence we have toward Him, our Father in heaven, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." To be clear, when John refers to God's will, he does not mean some secret, unknown will of God that leaves you guessing or apprehensive or scratching your head thinking, "I really don't know what God's will is." Rather, John is referring to the God of will, God's will as He has made it known in His holy word. Want to know God's will? Here it is, written for you. Here it is, proclaimed to you. That's why we should be in church, especially in this time. When you pray according to God's will, you can definitely say amen with confidence at the end of your prayers. But all too often, our prayers proceed from the will of the flesh. Old Adam, he has his way. And instead of scriptures, then these words will burn in our ears. You ask and do not receive, because wrongly you ask to spend it on your passions. Thus writes James in his fourth chapter. It's interesting that the Greek word that James uses for passions is a word that you and I know quite well. Hedonas, of which we get the word hedonism. In other words, when we pray according to old Adam's will, we are literally praying for our own sensual lust. So because of this war of wills that is going on within us, the third petition is perhaps the hardest petition to pray. Why? Because not only are we praying against the devil and praying against the world, but we are praying against ourselves. There are times you know what needs to happen. You know what needs to happen in your life. Yet you pray as if God were at a loss, as if there is no God, or that he has no idea what's going on in your life, or he's awaiting your advice and your counsel. On such occasions, your will has a great deal to say, but are you willing to pray the third petition, O Father, thy will be done? Are you willing, dear one, to pray against yourself? By nature, by which I mean old Adam, as you probably understood, we resist being at the mercy of another's will. We are very discomfortable. We are not comfortable at all. We are not comfortable with having to follow someone else's will. After all, we're free. We're Americans. We can do what we want. Our will, my will, is most important. But all this discomfort is baseless. It is unfounded. It is groundless. When we consider the will of God, listen to how Jesus and his apostles speak of God's will. And you'll see that being at the mercy of God and his will is truly a mercy. Thus saith the Lord, For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The will of your Father in heaven, dear one, is that you be resurrected and you live with him in his kingdom forever. This is God's good and gracious will for you. O Father, thy will be done. So when you pray, dear one, faithfully the third petition, the devil will flee from you, the world will weaken, and old Adam is once again enslaved in those gospel chains. When you pray, O Father, thy will be done, our Father strengthens and keeps you firm in the one true faith. And lastly, as you have sung already, the fourth stanza of our hymn, let me close with it and let it ring in your ears for the rest of the evening, for the rest of this week, even for the rest of this year. The gracious will on earth be done, as 'tis in heaven before thy throne. Obedience in our weal and woe, and patience in all grief bestow. Curb flesh and blood and every ill that sets itself against thy will. O Father, thy will be done. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.